This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Now, according to the Housing and Local Government Minister, Dato' Zureida Kamarudin, the Housing Development Control and Licensing Act of 1996, or Act 118, will be amended to help house buyers of abandoned housing projects. Now, she said the amendment to the Act is being drawn up to address issues concerning abandoned housing projects, stricter actions against developers who abandon projects as well.
So I guess the big question here is, what kind of protection is needed for buyers should Act 118 be amended, and why is it important for the government to address this issue?
To give us some insight, we have with us Khairul Anwar Shahruddin, lawyer and author of the Ask the Lawyer book series on buying properties in Malaysia and applying for property loans. Good morning, Khairul. Thanks for joining us today. So let's start with the property projects. What are the current preventive measures in place to prevent them from being abandoned?
When you do a housing project, currently you have a deposit that you have to pay around 2%. So that is kind of a security against whatever you are doing. You have to put a deposit. So you have to have money to do the projects. But I think that's not really something that really help in when a project is abandoned. It's more about the reputation of the developer when they are capable of completing the project, because housing development is a very expensive endeavor for just about any developer, whether you are big or whether you are small. I think money is the key to nearly everything of a housing development. Why it's abandoned also has to do something with you running out of money doing it, or you did not anticipate the problem that you face when you are doing the project. I always advise clients who came to me about the problem of having to deal with a project not completed and everything, that the first thing that they should do when they buy a property is checking the developer, making sure they can deliver what they promise. A track record is important, because I think before pre-COVID, there's so many business try to be housing developer. When you say housing developer, this is residential property. Don't go into commercial project, because that's another ball game altogether.
So, Khairul, you mentioned earlier that basically it comes down to money, right? Either to start a project, or when you run out of money, then the project dies. From your experience, what are the typical reasons you've seen that money runs out for development projects? Do you have any insight here?
I think it's about managing cash flow, because you need to have the money for, they call it pre-com. This pre-com thing is everything to do with the land. So you must make sure the land is perfect for, because I have abandoned project even before it was launched. This particular project, they did not do a proper survey on the land, and it made them unable to do anything on it. So they have to actually pay back the deposit that they already took from the purchasers, the would-be purchaser. So, and they also add in a bit of a compensation, but they did not properly do the pre-construction part of doing the housing development. So it can happen, yeah.
What amendments do you hope to see in Act 118 to reduce the likelihood of abandoned projects?
In terms of abandoned project, we have a history of housing development problem which the government has to enact a new act. So one of it is, they call it in the 80s, there's a TPPT, Tabung Projek Perumahan Terbengkalai. It was under Bank Negara. And then there was also Dana Harta, which is now a private company called ProHas. And we have NAPIC, National Property Information Center. All these are to curb abandoned project. NAPIC is actually about data. So developer can know about what should and shouldn't be built. So you won't oversell, there's no overhang. That's the basic idea. NAPIC is already nearly 10 years, but 3 years ago, the developers were saying they did not use the data. They admit, because they say that they did not know what to build, and they did not think that what they are building is not going to sell. I think there need to be a vehicle to manage abandoned project where you can see whether a developer should build a particular type of property, and then there's also the issue of them saving this abandoned project if they need to be saved.
So, Carol, it looks like at one point everyone was going into the property development sector, right? There was really just a flood of developers into the market. I'm just wondering here, based, you know, you noted that 3 years ago, people weren't even looking at the data that they had to build properties. Should there be tighter control on who can be a developer if that's the case?
I think the Act already, our Housing Development Act is already there in terms of who can be a developer. They already make sure those who became housing developer don't become housing developer anymore if they didn't deliver before. They ask for a certain sum of money to be deposited before license is issued. And then we have also other measures inside the Act itself. But when you come to housing development, the issue of disabandonment is already since 1980s. There's still housing development which are not issued title, proper title. So those are a different type of abandoned project. They are really property which were never delivered and is not actually fit for occupation. So there's a few type of housing developers. Some are abandoned without it being started, but some are abandoned and eyesore to the public.
I have this question. How can we make it easier for developers to take over and revive abandoned projects?
These people who save abandoned projects are mostly white knights. I mean, they are not just about saving housing development. It's about saving business. So they have to have deep pockets. So actually, it falls on the government. I told you about Dana Harta. I mentioned about the Tabung Project Perumahan. And then even NAPIC itself, all are government. So it need to be government-driven. If a particular project is already made, that particular project may not sell to a certain developer. If one developer think that they can sell a particular project, another developer might not think it can sell. There are also some cases where the purchasers are the one which actually save their own project. There's one in Subang, I think there's a few other, but that is a very rare cases in Malaysia. I think build and sell, which we did in around 2008, and we already insert into our Housing Development Act. So those are the build and sell is one of the best way to go, and it will save a lot of headache for even purchasers who are thinking of buying property.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Khairul. That was Khairul Anwar Shaharuddin, lawyer and author of the Ask the Lawyer book series on buying properties in Malaysia as well as applying for property loans. Now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and then after that, the breakfast grill, where Noel Lim will be speaking with Adam Chai, Deputy Managing Director of DPI Holdings. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.